This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is day 36 of the MCO. It's also known as Wednesday, the 22nd of April. And today we're taking a look at the education sector. According to UNESCO, the COVID-19 pandemic has had an unprecedented impact on the education sector around the world, with 138 countries forced to close schools. And that has affected about 1.37 billion children and youth around the world. That's nearly 80% of the world's students' population that can't go education.
Right. And going online doesn't mean this solves the problem, because online education comes with a whole different set of external challenges, like connectivity, as well as internal investments that need to be made. So we take it for granted sometimes. One education group that has been toying with online and offline, a dual learning approach, is Sunway Education Group. Dr. Elizabeth Lee, the CEO of Sunway Education Group, speaks to us today.
Yeah. So Dr. Elizabeth, I guess, you know, it would be good to start by getting your opinion on the state of the education system, as well as, you know, how you're handling the situation, since you've got about 16 different education arms under your group.
You know, when you ask me about the state of the education system, and we're trying to wrap our arms around our 16 different entities, I can't help but revert to the state of mind, because truly this has been a constant dynamic of states, of transitioning, if I can put it that way. Let me explain a bit more. I see maybe three different states. One is from panic to action. Secondly is from anxiety to some kind of stability, so that we can maintain some sanity and keep working. And then thirdly, of course, is uncertainty to some kind of clarity as we grapple with the unknown and the hunger to find out more and more about this COVID-19. You can say we are constantly trying to find our equilibrium in all this, knowing that these states will change with the ever-changing scenarios. But coming back to your question, okay, which is for us in the Sunway Education Group, we had already been preparing our way before the MCO started, when it became apparent that COVID-19 outbreak was going to transform us, if not into this full-blown epidemic that hit us square in the face in Malaysia. So we clearly laid our priorities. One, which is student security and safety and welfare, and that's how we began. And then two was the student academic progression. And then thirdly, of course, the business and the operation sustainability, which we all have to worry about now. So there's been this need to balance between solving immediate and, I dare say, even acute problems with short-term solutions, and then scenario planning for the medium term, yet having to keep that third eye on long-term solutions, as I think we need a new business model altogether. And then, of course, for me personally, it's making sure that the leadership at our various institutions that we have under the Sunway Education Group, that they were given the autonomy to make the necessary amendments to academic and operation regulations, for example, as long as they adhere to guidelines and directives by the government and the authorities. And with that freedom, also accountability at every level of the decision-making process. And then finally, recalibrating our communication channels, setting expectations, boundaries, appreciating basically the limitations of not having the human interface as a reality, and appreciating the time that it would take for our staff to cope with their own sets of disruptions arising from working from home arrangements, and then having to do everything online. And last but not least, if I can add, having to pray very hard, pray to God, you know, help get us through this, because there's just so much unknown and we're all learning altogether.
And it's been more than a month since the MCO began. You know, you talked about planning for the short term and the midterm, but yet there's so much of uncertainty at the moment. How are you adjusting on what could be the new norm in this period?
There were plenty of challenges. And in this respect, I am comforted by knowing that I have allies around the whole world who are actually experiencing this same shift to online, and the whole world is coping with exactly the same impacts as us. In fact, it's only yesterday, if I can share with you, we were in a Zoom meeting with the Vice Chancellor of Cambridge University, Professor Stephen Toop, and he was updating my chairman, Tan Sri Jeffrey, on the COVID-19 work that they are actually doing, the new Jeffrey Chia Biomedical Center. So in Cambridge, they have also had to switch overnight to online teaching and learning. And they imagine that they will possibly have to plan on this, maybe even going on till the end of the year, as the UK is, as you know, is now grappling with the rise in COVID, unlike us, where we hopefully can see a little flattening of the curve. So this has been one of my greatest challenge, getting people to accept online learning, whether it is the teachers or the students or even the parents themselves. This whole MCO, this whole world pandemic and what's happening out there, UNESCO actually figures that more than 1 billion students or 80% of the world's learners are now being kept out of educational institutions by this countrywide closures, as high as that. But we have kept classes open and got it online. And we're just lucky that at the Sunway Education Group, we've been pushing for increased blended learning because we've recognized quite early on that this is a possible future. And the use of the online pedagogical tools in delivery, we have ensured that, you know, we've been pushing for that. You can say that we have been investing on online e-learning platforms, for example, and the necessary IT infrastructure to support this over the last few years. So we at least had something to build on, but certainly if you were to ask our academics at the start of the year, if they were prepared to run a fully online semester at the end of, at the start of that of the year, they would have laughed their heads off. So what we envisage as a possible future way down the road has actually become an overnight reality for all of us.
You know, but Dr. Elizabeth, there's this argument that online education should be cheaper, or a stigma about online education not being as impactful or not as highly recognized before this pandemic. Any truth to this?
You know, there's this kind of stigma right now, I think, with online learning. You know, maybe it's because in the past they see online learning as, you know, open university, and you know, somehow people seem to think it's cheap and is not of high standard and all that. You know, I'd like to ask people to, you know, change their mindset about online learning. I mean, the whole world is turning to online. You're talking about Oxford and Cambridge. You're talking about Ivy League universities. You're talking about Harvard. You know, and I see my daughter, she's just come back from the States. She's up in her room. She's studying with her professors. And her professors having to turn the time around because, you know, it's 12 hours. They are 12 hours behind, we're 12 hours ahead. And so, you know, the professors have to bend over backwards and teach at odd hours. So, you know, there's so much work involved. Nothing really changes. In having to provide for our students learning, it's just a different platform. So we need people to change their mindset.
Yep.
You know, talking to the Professor Stephen Toop, the Vice Chancellor of Cambridge yesterday. In fact, their Ministry of Education, their government has said that, you know, there should be no change in fees, for example, because there is the recognition that standards have still to be maintained. Quality has to be maintained. Not to mention a lot more investment has to go in to make this even more effective for everyone else.
So what do you think could be done more from all stakeholders?
It's a collective responsibility, the way I look at it when we talk about stakeholders, right? The government also has to play its part in recognizing the role that private institutions play as a key economic sector, as well as a we are valuable to nation building. So when they talk about stimulus packages, I really hope that they bear us in mind, because COVID-19 is having tremendous impact on us as an industry. We are trying to keep going for the sake of our students and their learning. But, you know, we are conscious that the economy is being affected. So parent spending power, our own selves, you know. And so there's been... so we also need stimulus package in this area. So... so that's one of the support that we would like to, that I would aspire to see. And then that also, because of the new normal that you mentioned, that they will continue, you know, the authorities may continue in the direction towards autonomy for our institutions, because we need to drive the change in line with the needs and the demand. It is different. It is new. We all need to think out of the box. And COVID, as I say, has destroyed the box entirely. And so, you know, it needs new ways. Education providers, all of us also need to be more student-centric and work together as an industry. And for us, we have the Malaysian Association of Private Colleges and Universities, or MAPCU. And so... rather than be more competitive, let's come together and be more collaborative, and so that we can grow together as a sector in this space of adversity. And then with the public at an individual level, can we all be more human and humane? Let's take some time to reflect on what we need. You know, we've taken a lot of things for granted. And the thing is, how essential are we, or the role that we play in other people's lives? Are we grateful for what we have? And can we all take some downtime sometimes, you know, to recalibrate how we operate at the individual and societal level, so that, you know, together we can make this world more caring and sustainable? You know, it's like an unseen world war that's happening out there, and everyone is affected. We're in this all together. And the only way to survive is that we come together. So, you know, so that's my aspiration.
That was Dr. Elizabeth Lee, the CEO for the Sunway Education Group. She actually replied to my request to be interviewed for the show at 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, it's just a real testament to like what she preaches, and we all got to work together in this point of time. And she replied back with, you know, apologies for not getting back to you earlier. She's, you know, had a few days to need out to sort out some of the challenges that her group is facing. Mm. So, you know, can you only imagine running 16 education arms during this period of time? So, yeah, 3 a.m.
Wow. You know, and of course, I can relate. I have a son right now who's in college, and of course, he's also at home. I think he's studying. The room is so close, but it's very heavily locked. And, you know, so anyway, stay tuned. We'll be talking to Muslim Pro after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.